This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It probably differs a little bit within each phase. You know, offense may do just a little bit more or a little bit less one week, but I mean, really we're hovering around 0-1, I would say. In particular in the first game, because I'm just a big believer in allowing these young players to play, not have to worry about, you know, the volume of a game plan, and we get a better feel for who they are as football players when we can just watch them react and play fast and not have to think. We'll move on from here and graduate a little bit, but even still, I mean, we don't do a lot. Every team's a little bit different. We don't do a lot as it relates to game planning in the preseason.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott there in the postgame. My favorite answer he gave in the postgame. And he talked for a good bit there, not anything crazy, but for a good bit. But I think it's also, it's nice to hear a coach just outright say that. They don't game plan for every team. It is much more for the preseason about reacting and just, you know, being in the right spots, you know, when called upon, that kind of stuff. They are not going to be prepared for the ins and outs of what the Giants did last year. There simply is no point. The games don't matter, and to McDermott's point, they just want to see how guys are reacting. And I think you can put that to, you know, how bad they were on third downs and how they were a little shaky to start on offense. They're just kind of going out there and doing things. Now, he did say they'll graduate a little bit more, but even then it still won't be a ton.
It will still be about what I was saying. Can you get some athletic plays, some high point plays from players that you want to see promise from? Can you get, for example, in the film room, can I get Elijah Moore breaking open down the middle of the seam? Can I get TJ Sanders registering a couple quarterback hits, showing me that I've got a defensive lineman that can actually get home?
Yep.
Can I get Deion Walker with that fantastic inside move to then cause a pass deflection that, if it takes some fortunate bounce and the player sees it coming, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Can I get more plays from Jordan Hancock, like an interception like that, that it works great in the film room, just didn't translate to on the field because someone lined up incorrectly. But in the film room today, DBs, probably loving that one. Tip drill, go and get it. Make opportunities happen. And that all has to do with reacting, making plays the way that you're able to.
803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on game number one of the preseason for the Bills. They do fall to the Giants 34-25. Next up for the Bills, it's going to be two straight road games. This week, it's Chicago on Sunday. It'll be a night game. The Bills will also be having a joint practice with the Bears later on this week. And let's get Knight to our fans. That is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Dan tweets in, and this is something we have not mentioned, and this is absolutely right. We got out without major injury. Nothing else really matters to me in the preseason.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's probably one of the bigger ones, especially the Bills have been dealing with injuries, to some extent minor, to maybe a little bit more than minor throughout camp. And to come out of this with was it Jenkins had a laceration, but he ultimately was able to come in. And then Taron Johnson ultimately just gets checked for a concussion. He's fine, and that's the extent of it. That's a pretty good day.
Especially considering we even took a call on it earlier. The turf monster was out and about on Saturday afternoon. Players are slipping, and he said the caller said, you know, that soft tissue injuries happen from those sorts of things. Not wrong.
That's why no one wants to play at MetLife.
Yeah.
That's why no one likes playing there. You want to talk about why Super Bowl's never gone back there. Maybe not the cold weather. It's the fact.
Oh, it's actually the field.
it might be the field, actually.
That's actually a really good point.
A bunch of people are like, absolutely not.
Yeah,
You get that baby cold? No.
Yep.
And the way the Jets and Giants play, no one's played on that for also a month and a half by the time the Super Bowl rolls around.
You can kind of say it about another stadium. It's domed, but like Detroit.
Detroit
hasn't had one in a long time. You want to know why?
Could be the field.
Their turf monster.
Could actually be the field. Less so about the city, and they're more like, I'm not, no.
It's the field. The players don't want to play on that.
Yeah. You very rarely get major injuries in the Super Bowl. It, like,
Odell Beckham Jr. is one that I think about. Like, he tears his ACL in the Super Bowl. Is it Greenlaw for the 49ers?
Dre Greenlaw, yeah.
Yep. Like, and that's kind of the only ones I can really think. I could be completely forgetting someone obvious, but those are the two that come to mind, and they're kind of the only ones in my mind. 803-0550, the number to call. Want to jump on the show today. One thing I do want to talk about, Derek, that does not part, you know, has nothing to do with the Bills, but I'm so fascinated by it. The Shedeur Sanders stuff.
Solid game.
I was locked in the entire time. I found myself getting really excited once he was named the starter, and then we found out he was going to play, you know, a good majority of the game because it was basically just him and Huntley. They were healthier and or were ever planning on playing. And he looked good. I'm not saying he looked great, but he looked comfortable. He made some really dynamic throws. His first touchdown pass was perfection. Second one, he's moving the pocket around. It looks good. It did not blow me away in terms of, like, guys, how's he not a first-round pick? Not that. And he had some, you know, goofy rookie mistakes, you know, the whole running backwards 15 yards.
Right.
You know, not great. But here. I'm going to go a long way in saying this. Let's say he puts another good preseason game together, or even just two. Like, he looks good the entire preseason. In all seriousness.
That chatter gets a lot louder.
And on this, though, what is the harm of playing him?
Well, at that point, you've won the job.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's how you sell it to the team, is you won the job.
He looks good. Well, and so that's the thing too. Like, I am going to be with great interest following Browns reporters of, like, okay, is now Flacco's first team reps starting to get split with Shedeur, or is, like, in any kind of capacity? They took two quarterbacks in this draft, Dylan Gabriel in the third, Shedeur in the fifth. Gabriel has not been able to play. He got the hamstring injury, so, like, we'll see if, you know, he himself could look great and this conversation can go completely into the toilet.
Or it can go sideways on its head.
Right. But for me, in the way I look at it, and I'm always in some way looking at the marketability for any kind of move, it's why teams, no matter your draft position, if you're the first round pick, they'll play over the sixth round pick most of the time, unless, you know, desperate needs. The first round player is marketable until they're not, right?
Right.
The Bills played Benford and Elam in the first game of the year out of necessity. But for many teams, Elam gets the first crack at this. Or the first round pick gets the first crack at this.
The first round pick does get the first crack at anything, no matter what it typically is. However, you're now looking at a player that was seen by some as a first round pick, was annoyingly talked about through the entire weekend by a certain draft analyst.
Mel Kiper, I'll say it. Yeah, Mel Kiper.
But the thing is that there is actually legitimate hype around the player to a point where it matches almost a first or a second round pick, because that's where he was projected.
Mm-hmm.
Then he falls several rounds later.
And it almost felt deliberate by the NFL. At a certain point, it felt like they were trying to, like, teach a kid a lesson,
and
quote unquote.
I don't know what lesson has to be learned, but also, if this is how it goes and you win a job, there's a much different light about him all of a sudden, to where he is incredibly marketable all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to a point of, teams, why did you do what you did?
Yeah, why did it take to the fifth round? And to some
and
reports,
a team,
an owner forcing his team to draft a guy. Now, they did actually trade up for him, so that's probably not true. But there was, I would imagine there were some rumblings of, Haslam likes the guy, we should go get him.
And at the same time, though, you're also a team that did it actively.
Mm-hmm.
You took a player that most people thought shouldn't even be touching the third round.
I mean, I think I mentioned it on air during the draft on day three. When we got around to the fifth round, I was like, I wouldn't be against the Bills in the sixth round swinging for
you
it.
You and I got to that point.
Mainly because I think many people know how I feel about backup quarterbacks. I want at least some juice.
You want some fun.
I want some fun, but I want some juice too, because here, perfect example. Josh Allen doesn't play preseason game number one for the Bills, and I think we're heading towards he won't play game two or three.
Right. Again,
but
for the
they,
second straight year.
Yeah, but if they had Shedeur Sanders back there instead of Mitch Trubisky or Mike White playing a majority of the snaps in the first half, and he completes the Tyrell Shavers pass, or he does hit Elijah Moore and it's a touchdown, what have you. All of a sudden, that's what I've been talking about, the trade piece.
Mm-hmm.
And he would play all three preseason games.
Tanner McKee.
Tanner McKee for the Eagles. Far less interesting, but around NFL circles, I know Jordan Schultz has tweeted about this, there is a lot of love there with him.
Even less so. Joe Milton, last year.
Oh, man.
Who is now almost becoming a bit of a Bills folk hero of sorts.
He's also a meme, but yeah, he's a bit of a folk hero.
Thank you for making sure the Patriots did not get either Travis Hunter nor Abdul Carter. Thank you. Really. Or a bunch of picks and still landing one of those two, actually.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. Really appreciate that one, Joe Milton. Thank you for your service.
Man, he's Nolan Ryan at quarterback. Did you see any of the highlights from him with Dallas? No touch.
He rockets everything.
Fireball. Fastball. He's a Aroldis Chapman, Nolan Ryan, a quarterback. It's unbelievable to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, he's raw.
Yeah. And
what's funny is then the action that got everyone excited about him was last year's preseason and then his final game against Buffalo. And then with Dallas, the first preseason game, you're like, oh, this is not.
Wait, they traded for this?
This is not great.
Yeah.
It's not awesome.
You traded for all fastballs all the time?
Yeah. But the Sanders stuff, for me, it very quickly becomes. If he is solid in the preseason, you are a team that does not have high expectations. No matter what you're going to say internally, there are likely not high expectations.
Right.
You have a 41-year-old starting quarterback, and it's Joe Flacco. The expectations can only get so high. I feel this way in almost every sport, and I know the old adage used to be the opposite. I don't believe that. If it's close to a tie or a tie between the vet and the rookie, I favor the rookie. Every single time, and it becomes more aggressive at the quarterback position. I need them to have reps. I need to know as soon as humanly possible if I can start moving forward with them. And for Cleveland especially, you drafted two of them in the third and the fifth round, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders. If you're bad this year, you need to know if did we just get Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson in the later rounds of the draft, and we don't have to use maybe the second overall pick on a Cade Klubnik, a Drew Aller, whoever ends up becoming one of these quarterbacks. You need
to
know.
Especially because you have two. But the problem with that is also going to be you have two of them.
Yeah.
Are you going to move on too quickly from one to get to the other?
Right. But this is where also your best ability is your availability. Shedeur was not getting, at least from most reports that I was seeing, a ton of reps. To the point where there was kind of a ridiculous story of are the Browns trying to tank him, essentially. Yeah. But Gabriel picks up a hamstring. It sucks, but Shedeur took advantage. Pickett's banged up. Pickett, number one, I think most of us assumed would just not be on the roster. They would roll with Flacco and the two rookies, but now maybe they don't.
I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking that Cleveland probably takes Pickett, Flacco, and...
Oh, and one of the rookies.
And one of the rookies, and you practice squad the other, based on who it might be.
With the hope and prayer that one of them isn't picked up.
Yeah. Because... Why would you? Especially if camp was going the way that it was. Sanders isn't even getting a lot of opportunity. What are you really losing?
Yeah, and if he gets picked up, it's like, okay, cool. Now he's like somebody else's problem.
But now Sanders is getting this opportunity, and he's earning the right to make it a conversation. On a roster where if you have six quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
They do have six. Oh, my goodness. They do have six. That's right.
That is the other thing about this opportunity that is really going to become more and more interesting throughout the preseason.
How do you even divvy up reps? I mean, how do you even do that?
And, well, one of them is out for, you know.
But then it's down to five guys, and it's the same question.
It's the same thing. That's why Sanders isn't getting reps. And they signed the extra one, by the way, because there's injuries.
Yeah, there's two injuries.
So they were already in a mess with reps. What do you do now if people start getting healthy? Well, my first answer is you cut Huntley.
Oh, yeah.
But my second one is, what do I do about Flacco, even. If Sanders looks like this, do I bother trotting a 41-year-old quarterback out there?
No, and that's my whole point. What am I learning here? My team might win seven games. Cool with Flacco. Great. But with Sanders, they might also win seven games. But it could save jobs. There could be a little hope in the city. You'll be relevant in Cleveland, and you're not good. Like that's a thing I think Buffalo fans could intimately understand, is that when small market teams are bad, even in the NFL, you are a forgotten kid at the bus stop. I mean, you're there, sure, but no one cares.
No one cares.
Detroit, for a long time, just happy to be an NFL franchise. Jacksonville, we're just happy the franchise is still here. Buffalo, we're just happy the franchise is still here. Cleveland, to that extent, because they also were moved once, but they had a little blip of a moment where they were really interesting in the recent years. Then Baker's you know, then they move off of Baker. They do the Watson thing. That's a disaster.
And now they've got six quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, this could be a way of, like, good vibes around them. I know Shador's not the most overly popular player. Again, we kind of bashed him a little bit during our draft coverage as well for how he handled the pre-draft process.
It was more of a mystery of what did you do?
Yeah, what did you do? How bad could it have been? But again, me, who is not the biggest Shador Sanders fan, was locked into a preseason game because he was playing.
And it is generating a different kind of hype, too. I think that's the other part of this, is that now you're also going to look at the teams that didn't take him and go, okay, what did you miss on? Or how did you miss on like this? Because if New Orleans trots Spencer Rattler out there week one as a starter.
It's looking like they're going to.
And Cleveland has Shador Sanders starting. You look at Mickey Loomis and go, how do you still have a job?
Well, and so to that point, New Orleans isn't necessarily a small market, but they can be a forgettable franchise when they're bad. They were bad for most of their lives up until Breeze and Peyton. And instead they take Tyler Shuck in the second round. It's looking like he won't even win the QB competition.
Which, great pick there, guys.
And with New Orleans especially, too, you could have taken Sanders, still been bad, but at least been relevant for a while.
You could have been relevant at least for the year while being bad.
Yeah. And instead, now you're not even that, really. And who is Tyler Shuck except for a 25-year-old that had one good year of college football, and that was the end of his college football career?
Yeah.
And then now, in preseason, in training camp as well, it does not sound like he's having a good camp. He was fine in a preseason game. He had a pick six and a touchdown. But
his most notable thing was that he held out with the rest of the second rounders looking for guaranteed money.
Yeah, because the assumption was he'll be the starter. And
yeah.
now here we are. I look at it, and it's a lot of fun at the idea of, after all of this, Sanders actually maybe the more, I don't say logical start, because that is probably not true. The more logical one, if you want to win games, is probably 41-year-old Joe Flacco. But with the assumption that they won't be very good, they probably won't win games, it would be better to, let's see what we have in Sanders.
If you want to operate the season on what do you have in Sanders, you can then look at it as, hey, I got Flacco as my backup in case things are turning
south. Go haywire,
yep. You know, it's our safe option, or you can just roll with Pickett. That's when you get to, if Sanders wins the job, then you're rolling with two rookies and one of those vets, not both.
Yeah.
If Sanders continues to play well. If he doesn't, that's when I think you're probably trying to, honestly, you're probably cutting ties with your third rounder now.
Right, and look, that's its own thing.
That's its own asset mismanagement, but
I mean, I remember the Raiders did that a few years ago. Lynn Bowden Jr.,
yep.
Third-round pick. They caught him in camp, and I think Miami picks him up, and never been heard of again. But it also wouldn't be – you picked a quarterback that was going to be a backup in the third round. Like, that's already not the best asset management.
It's already bad asset management in a deep defensive class.
Yeah, and where you also kind of just need talent everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's already not great asset management. Doing it twice is almost malpractice. So – maybe ultimately, to a certain extent, one of them has to get cut. Just as we've mentioned, they've got five quarterbacks on the roster. When the season rolls around, Watson's really not a part of it, so it's going to be four, maybe three.
And you avoid the moving on from one of the players' evaluation too quickly to just look to see if you have something in the other.
Yeah.
Why not give a full season to that player instead, release the other one, cut bait, and then you get answers.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, based on what I know with the draft profile of Dylan Gabriel, move on from the third round pick.
Yeah, there's going to be people that love Gabriel. I don't understand it. If the Bills had drafted Gabriel and people wanted to push that was, hey, it's exciting. No,
yeah,
it's not.
They drafted the quarterback.
It's Jake Fromm. There's no upside here.
But
he played a lot of college football. There's no elite athletic trait. There's no elite trait outside of he played a lot of college football. Sanders at least has a very good arm. He's athletic enough, actually. Like, I walked away from that going, okay, there's escapability there. And he also played a lot of college football.
We'll take a moment real quick to get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike D. tweeting in, and I really like this. You keep Flacco to teach the rookie quarterbacking the NFL. Just like the Bills did with Josh, it's smart to have a guy teach the QB role outside of the game itself. Good on Sanders for playing so good.
I will say on Flacco, though, and Mike may not have seen this clip.
That's right.
Flacco was asked about this.
Flacco does not care to do it.
Pretty much outright said, I'm not here to be a teacher. I'm here to play quarterback and to win games. I'm paraphrasing it. This is not an exact quote. This is from back in, I think, mandatory minicamp.
Yep.
But he kind of pushed back on that. Now, to that extent, though, for many of us, sometimes the best teacher is just watching somebody do something. I mean, we hear quarterbacks talk about that all the time, just watching another guy and how they operate.
Yes.
In college, we hear that all the time. That could absolutely be it. And that could be the kind of teacher Flacco
is. Might
not
be actively teaching, but he may be doing it passively, and Sanders is trying to be a good student, for example.
And he is.
That is a good thing. I start to wonder, though, the viability of why the heck are you going to bother keeping a guy who, A, won't actively teach to see if you've got something in the commodity that you drafted that is earning his way up the depth chart.
Yep.
And B, has no long-term standing in the National Football League.
Yeah.
I do like the premise of the tweet overall, though, but like...
I think it's the perfect world. That's what you're hoping for.
Yes, but also...
That's what you're hoping for.
But also, Joe Flacco signed here with no intention of being a backup.
No.
He probably would say, if I don't have the job, cut me.
To be fair, look how Cleveland's treating it. Cleveland is treating it as he's our starter. Why would we? He's not going to play the preseason. He's going to get all the first team. He's going to start week one.
Which I think is a mistake.
Now, I do wonder, and this is another thing too, and to get back to Bills Giants a little bit here. Do we know how safe Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry's job is?
Nope.
And so on that, and it's the same with the Giants. We kind of know Dable and Shane's job in New York is probably not safe for either of them, especially after the hard knock stuff, especially after making the playoffs, winning a game, cratering hard. That's where I go to then play the rookie. I think it is one of the worst things an ownership group can do is firing a coach the year after a rookie plays. Because I'll always say, fire a coach and then bring in the rookie.
You want to start together. That's kind
of. You have to start together or at least get close to that. The worst thing the Bears could have done for Caleb Williams
was let Eberflus
was keeping Eberflus in his rookie year. You should have fired the coach, got a coach early, and build towards taking Caleb Williams. Whoever you wanted to. The worst thing you can do is changing coaches. It's also somewhat of a negative for Drake May. You had Jerod Mayo, now you've got Vrabel. Now we all. I think pretty much unanimously believe Vrabel is going to be better than Mayo. So that may be a positive there.
But you do need to be careful on the, did he come here just because he wanted to be back in the Patriots organization, or is he actually sold on Drake May?
Or is he actually sold?
Like, there's going to be a little bit of a problem, maybe a kickback on that sort of thing. Miami. Miami does this to a Tagovailoa, where Brian Flores effectively keeps benching him.
Yeah, it saves his career, actually.
And the thing about it is, Flores then leaves. You need to make sure you get a coach that wants the player.
Mm-hmm.
And McDaniel does seem to want the player. As a matter of fact, the system seems to really fall off the ledge when Tua's not in the lineup.
It seems like it relies on Tua being the quarterback.
It relies on Tua being the quarterback. It plays to his strengths, actually. But if you don't do that, Tua, A, doesn't get his extension, but B, Miami's already moving on.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on from a coach in year 2-3 of a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback is fine. I mean that very sensitive period of it's your first full offseason now of being the guy and we're going to take everything away. Because very rarely is any of the coaching staff staying if the head coach is fired. It's going to be like a new staff entirely. The team did not draft you. They are probably not going to be married to you. And it's so early in your development that you needed the I don't want to say the comfort from the team, but you needed to know you're going to be the guy, that everything's around you. They are building toward you. The Bears have tried to do that even with Eberflus. We'll see how that goes. But to the Giants and Cleveland's point too, not knowing how safe either Stefanski or Dable are, it's where if I'm a Giants fan, after one game, I am probably pushing harder for Jackson Dart. And internally, there is probably a feeling of we need to start the kid as fast as possible. Because even if we're bad, we can argue. And to a certain extent, successfully, we're building with the rookie quarterback. We're building for our future. And if Dart shows you anything positive, and he did on Saturday,
he did,
you go with him over Russell Wilson.
Even Tennessee is not safe from this. They take Ward first overall. I don't know if Callahan's made for this.
No idea. Look, but, you know, and to a certain
extent. Say the Titans have another terrible season.
Yeah.
It's not a zero chance.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's that they fire him too.
Yeah. But even with Cleveland, Baker Mayfield, Freddie Kitchens.
Yep.
And the Hugh Jackson stuff there. It's one of the worst things you can do. It's a lot like a marriage trying to save itself by having a baby. It's one for one for me. The marriage is a disaster, but we think a kid's going to save it. It almost never does. My coach is a disaster. We're not going anywhere, but we're going to take a young quarterback. This is going to save us. It very rarely works.
Right.
There are the exceptions that just they hit. They're perfect. The number one overall pick. What have you?
Right.
But there are more often than not, it's we're in a really bad situation, and now we're just drowning, and we maybe have just ruined a career as well to try to save ours. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get back to Bills and Giants after this quick timeout, read some of your tweets, and also get your thoughts on the phone on what you thought of game number one of the Bills preseason. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Week one of the preseason is behind us.
How you feeling, everybody? And I think it's mostly – I do like the consistent messaging that we've been getting, though, from the couple callers that we've taken today, which is I know it is preseason. Mm-hmm. I do have some things on my mind that are kind of troubling me, but I'm not going over the – cliff right now, which is exactly how you should feel if you have negatives on it. If you have positives, you need to say the same thing, which is, it's one preseason game. Let's see if it's strung together. Like the Shooter Sanders thing we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's one preseason game. He could be chunkage throughout the rest of this, and like it's all for naught.
Yeah, so it really was just a week of talking points, a week of excitement, and that's it, right? It could absolutely happen.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, this is where I prefer the college route, where it's peak paranoia. No one knows anything until, like, week one. I love that stuff. Where the most you'll get is reports from internally of their camps of, like, oh, I really like this player. Everyone thought Florida State was great last year based off the internal dialogue that everyone was getting. There were no preseason games to see if DJ Ungalele was any good or if their defense had retooled or not. There was nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And we're going to get the AP poll today. That is coming out, I think, at noon today. We already got the coaches poll, what have you.
Right.
We'll know who the top 25 are. There will be a team in there, probably more than one, that are garbage.
And they're like, hang on, you're not supposed to
be here. That do not meet the expectations they had. But a lot of those expectations happen because there's absolutely nothing you can learn. For like a month and a half,
there's no preseason.
It is zero dark 30. You get very few reports. Everything is behind closed doors. And you just hope and pray the information you got is somewhat correct.
I do love that.
It is so good.
I do love the mystery.
Now, I will say it does lead to some week one games being disasters. A few years ago, Alabama played USC. This is right before Sam Darnold starts. He ends up starting later that year, and they end up actually going on to the Rose Bowl. But they play Alabama in Dallas. It was one of those neutral site games. It's a blowout. It's horrendous.
Yep.
A few years ago as well, Alabama, Michigan, Denard Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Disaster. You have those games. But you will also have the surprise teams that catch everyone. Arizona State last year. They were picked last in the Big 12. They win the darn thing.
Yeah.
They look, hook 'em horns, baby. They had them dead to right.
Yeah. They did. They were getting...
Texas has to score on a fourth down.
Yes, they did make it a little scary in that game. And I will say, though, it's always fun to have the mystery, though. I love mystery.
Mystery
is fun. Mystery and intrigue are always fun, especially if you don't see other teams. And
Cold
like,
War paranoia, baby.
Yes. How good are you really? How good are we really? Like, it's...
What information do you believe? What's being fed to you? It's the best.
Yeah, it's kind of like... It's kind of fun. I do kind of want that for the NFL. Mostly because I don't know the appetite of a two-game preseason, for example. If the NFL moves to its 18th game, which they desperately want.
Yeah, we kind of know that is coming.
It's going to have to come with the trade-off of the entire preseason. Because who's going to care about two preseason games? I'll tell you who won't.
NFL teams.
You wonder though if owners will still want that one, because that's the thing. It's going to be split. You'll have one home, one
NFL
away.
NFL owners and NFL teams are probably the difference in this.
Is that we want that
coaching
one more
staffs,
game.
Coaching staffs do not care. It's not that they don't care. It's that they don't want to worry too much about it because it's bland planning,
mm-hmm.
and it's looking at the depth of your team. It's not
it's
the starters
much,
at that point.
And it's too much chaos.
And with only two games, you're either playing the starters in the first one or you're not
mm-hmm.
at all. Done.
Yep.
We're done with the conversation at that point. With 90 players, what is the point?
Yeah.
And the NFLPA would push back on reducing training camp roster sizes.
And that's the big negative of that, though, isn't it? I mean, like the preseason, having three of them, there will be guys who are just simply not NFL roster players.
They are camp bodies.
But they can get on camp, and then they can play in some of these games. A lot of these are on NFL Network, so it's to a certain extent national television. Like, they get their moments. Here, a perfect example, too, as well. We're talking about Sanders there. Who would know anything good about Shedeur Sanders up to this point if it weren't for he played a preseason game? He wasn't getting any reps. On the Bills, Tyrell Shavers. It would just be camp. And you know, you can differentiate, you can separate yourself from others in practice too, but we've mentioned you sort of have to marry the two between the preseason games and practice. Now, if it just goes to practice, or likely what would start to happen, I think, in earnest, is what the Bills are going to be doing this week, which
I
is the joint
here,
practices.
I think here, Steven Gosnell. That's
yeah.
game body.
Yeah.
He makes a fun little catch in practice because there were so many injuries mm-hmm. to wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you don't suspect he's going to make a roster.
Or last year. Andreessen.
Right.
He's now there. He's now seemingly in pole position to be their backup middle linebacker. But if fans only know he's on the roster and there's only – and I think this does play a little bit of a role in it. Only a little bit of noise because we're not seeing him all the time. Really what I think for most of us got to he should be on the roster was last year's Pittsburgh game.
And Christian Wilkerson.
Mm-hmm.
Wilkerson has a ultimately incomplete catch because he's out of bounds.
Boy, did that look good.
Yeah,
one-hand catch on the sideline. It's good in college, not so good in the NFL and in high school. But
yeah, right. It's high school. You need 2 feet
yeah,
in two.
I'll never.
And college is like, no, we're going to stay with one. What do you mean?
Yeah,
fix
I'll
it.
Never.
At
I'll
this
never
point,
like
fix
that.
It. It's not. It gets the players to not have to worry about adjusting at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of bogus.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's very bogus. But players like that though. And if you're not going to have three preseason games, if it goes down to two, I look at it as a coaching staff and going, why am I wasting my time
yeah.
with 90 players?
Like, what am I doing here?
What am I doing
I
here?
I can just be getting ready for week one. I mean, college.
They're just preparing
they
for week
spend
one.
3 months getting ready for the week one opponent.
Which
Ohio State and Texas have been spending too long getting ready for each other.
Which is kind of hilarious if a team puts up a dud on in week one like that, because like
I think
okay,
for me it just
know?
It also proves just how good the other team was. I think that's always how I've taken it, is that it's like, okay, we've now figured out the talent issue. Like
yeah,
one
is
team is going to be
issue,
better
yeah.
than the other. But
I think that's the case in college. But like mm-hmm. yeah, in the NFL, if I'm a coach, I'm not wanting to have to worry about this. I want to just get to game planning at that point.
Which makes complete sense to McDermott's point, too, of like we don't game plan for specific teams. Why waste the time?
Why waste the time? And
especially
if you
have Baltimore week one, that's your start of the season?
If you only have two preseason games, what is it that is going to benefit at that point? Who really benefits from this? And the answer only is the pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But coaches and even like your top-end roster players – why are you here?
I think we kind of found that out in 2020 when there was no preseason because
yes.
of the pandemic. Defenses struggled a little bit in the first month. There was a lot of high scoring. I remember,
yes.
I don't know the exact stats, but I remember that was a big thing. A lot of scoring, offenses were on fire, the whole thing. But ultimately, we all kind of figured out in 2020, ooh, we don't really need the preseason. Camp, practicing, getting reps in practice, like, that's where it matters, the nitty-gritty. The behind closed doors things. That's really what matters. And the preseason, yeah, is to sell tickets. And to that point as well, we brought this up on pregame on Saturday. It's a cheaper way for families to go. We mentioned that.
Yes.
And you know, it's the last game in Highmark Stadium. It was a chance for families to go. and to enjoy the afternoon and maybe not stay the entire time. That's the thing, too. There's no stress to it.
Yeah, you don't have to stay the whole game.
If the kiddos are tired because it's 90 degrees outside and you're baking in the sun, it's all good. Who cares if the game is close? It doesn't count. And so like, I guess that would maybe be my one continuous push to have the preseason, as much as I don't really like it, is that it is a cheaper way for families to go, and I still want that to be available.
I still want that to be available, too, which is why take as long as you need to with that 18th game.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on game number one of the preseason. Another tweet in here. Frank, D-line not getting home, getting stood up, stood straight up, and Daquan Jones just taking up a bit of a roster spot here. You know, the Daquan Jones thing, I still want him on the roster because I don't know what I'm going to get from the rookies right away. I just don't, and I don't want to have to rely on them immediately.
If Ogunjobi wasn't suspended, sure.
But that's the thing. You're going to need him because I don't know what I'm getting in the rookies, and the body count will be low, not due to injuries, due to suspensions. But the D-line, again, there were flash plays, and there were. Deion Walker had a very good PFF grade, and to be fair, every time he was in, you saw something. The Dancing Bear comp was on full display. He looked awesome. But in 51 pass attempts, the Bills registered zero sacks. I watched an uncomfortable amount of Chicago and Miami yesterday. Zach Wilson was sacked 4 times.
Is that also... Here I am about to trash Miami's O-line, and it's not like the Giants are known for their offensive line prowess.
And it's not like they were trouting out their prime Russell Wilson, or that Tommy DeVito and Jameis Winston are these nimble athletes that just, man, they're escape artists. Johnny Manziel learned from them. No. And so that is something, too. Again, the flash plays were there, but that is something, even in the preseason, I do think Bills fans are going to need to see. I know I'll need to see, is that they are starting to get home. Like 2 years ago, they were one of like the top 5 units in terms of sack numbers. I think last year they were middle of the pack. It was a steep drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of it too, because their pressure numbers were better than the Eagles in the regular season. Their QB hit numbers were pretty darn good. I brought this up with Greg Rousseau. He's top 10 in most of those categories.
And then when it mattered most.
But in sacks, he's like 28th. And he led the team in sacks at 8.
And again, when it mattered most, mm-hmm. the last time the fans saw the Buffalo Bills play football.
Yeah, Rousseau was sort of not just a non-factor, a bit of a negative factor, especially in terms of how he set the run.
And that was your best pass rusher.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that is absolutely going to be something. It's a minor thing, because how much can you really take from the preseason? We've talked that to death.
And on the other
but
side,
the idea
though,
of seeing Javon Salman get home, Alandon Jackson get home, TJ Sanders register a sack, or Bosa, you know, that's kind of, you know, not to necessarily the money and the term, but he is sort of your big addition of, he's going to be the guy that helps us unlock more of Greg Rousseau. He is himself going to help us down the line.
And Bosa was one of the things you could actually take away that was a positive in that game.
Yeah.
So the small snap shares for the starters is also something about it too. But you want to see your depth actually do something, because that's what's rotating in.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see them playing against backups and making plays themselves. And if they're not, are we in for more of the painful stuff that we had this past year, which is a middle-of-the-pack passing rush that does not ultimately get home when it matters most?
Yep. And that's the thing. Like, depth is all fine and dandy until it's bad depth. Like, I look at the Eagles in both their Super Bowls and what they were able to do on the defensive line. It's all good depth. I mean, this is why guys like Milton, I'm blanking on his first name, he gets a big contract after the Super Bowl. Josh Sweat gets a big contract after the Super Bowl. His pressure numbers weren't
right.
Greg Rousseau's. Sack numbers were. Sack numbers were better.
Because he's getting to there at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to be able to finish plays. Like even TJ Sanders with that hit on Dart.
It's a nice play to see, and I'm excited to see it.
It's a nice first look.
Mm-hmm.
But when the snaps get real and the score is kept for real, you need to get home.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here until 12 o'clock, where Sabres Live will take over. This is WGR.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a beautiful Monday. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. And today's show, of course, is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. In the break there, had a lot of fun for 5 minutes going through, the difference from this year to last year in terms of these sack numbers for the Bills. In 2023, the Bills ranked fourth in sack numbers, if we're just looking at that. Baltimore is first at 60. Buffalo is fourth at 54. This year, it is a stark difference. They are in the bottom third at 39 sacks. That is a big drop-off in that. However, Derek, what is interesting, 2023, their pressure numbers, 158. This past year, their pressure numbers, 151. Pressure percentage, 23.6 last year. 2023, it's 24.4. It's not radically different.
Right.
The difference is the sack numbers, the finishing. And I wonder if that's a mix of guys not getting home, guys not finishing, but also, and we got here as we're talking to the break, I wonder how much of that is also the coverage and marrying the defense together.
Context.
Yeah. Last year, Rasul Douglas was not the Rasul Douglas they traded for. Elam very much could not play for them.
And you're relying on more of the depth at that point.
In 2023, Douglas was awesome for you. Benford had a little bit of a breakout. You had all of Terrell Bernard. Your safeties were better than last year.
You had all – well, no, you didn't have all of Matt Milano.
No. But Bernard, as a middle linebacker, coverage middle linebacker, very good.
But that's also on the other side of it, though. Leonard Floyd is there 2 years ago, and he casually gives you another good season. He's quietly one of the best best in terms of consistency for his career. Ed Oliver has a precipitous drop in his game.
He went from, I believe it was 9.5 sacks to 3. There was a drop-off there.
It's a massive drop-off already to where you get to, you're not finishing plays. Coverage is part of that, though, too. How much off are they playing? How much is it that they try to play more man coverage with a starting corner that is never a good fit for that? And how much of it is also safety play?
I mean, that's that might be, especially looking at the Bills defense, that might be the biggest part of it.
2 years ago, you have legitimate threats on the back end, all pro threats on the back end. And then last year, you're trotting out, and it's nothing against them, but it is hard to follow up Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer with DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp.
Yep. It's we all knew it was a difference, and maybe that's the difference.
It's a tall task.
It's, yeah, they give up the big play every now and then here, you know, more than we're used to, but it also could be the ball gets out that second quicker because there is an opening, where before, I can't fit that into that window. That's going to be a pass breakup. It's got to be an interception. He's not open. Where now, guy's open.
Guys open, balls out. I don't care if there's a guy in my face.
Now, with the additions of everything they've done in the DB room, on both sides, safety and corner, and the, what, six additions they've made on the defensive line, maybe you do get a Leonard Floyd season out of Joey Bosa. Or you just get better all-around seasons from everybody. You added T.J. Sanders. You added Deion Walker. A.J. Epinesa. Greg Rousseau, of course, is the guy I kind of banged the drum a lot for, at least recently.
But those are your holdovers at the end. Epinesa, Solomon, and of course, Rousseau. Other than that, the position has been overhauled.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle. It's what? It's Daquan Jones and Ed Oliver, and that's it. You revamped the entire room. Corner. You get rid of two players. And you bring in a bunch of names, and you focus on that in the draft.
Yeah. Also could say, too, the blitz percentage did change pretty aggressively. 2023... the Bills blitzed at a percentage of 23.5% last year, dropped down to 19.1%.
Also, you do sometimes blitz because the defensive line's not getting home.
Right, right.
So it is something where you do want to create pressure.
Fun context there. It is going to be the major storyline for, I think, the Bills this year is, do they get more from that revamped defensive line? That'll do it today for me and Derek. Coming up next, some hockey talk with Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.